Oh, come on, let's magnify the name of the Lord. Come on, let everything that has breath give him praise. We magnify the name of Jesus. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to Acts, the 12th chapter. Let me say thank you to Bishop and to Pastor Gentry, to my longtime friend, Pastor Andrew, and the entire BOTT committee, and to everyone who canceled so that I could get a call. I don't feel bad about it. I want to say before I read how much I love my pastor and honor him, to my friends, to my iron-sharpening brothers in the gospel, and certainly to my beautiful bride, Rachel. Love her and appreciate her. Now, I'm going to read verses 11 through 15 of Acts 12. Those who know me pretty well know I'm probably just going to stay in this one chapter the whole time I preach, and I hope that's okay. Acts is a pretty good book to preach from here. Verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate, and seems kind of odd, opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, "It is his angel." Allow me, before I tell you my title, just to give you a little bit about me. I grew up in a small southern town, southern Illinois. It is a mission field. And when I was just a child, Brother Howe, during a special service, I watched a crazy lady in our church drag her kid outside, rip a branch off a tree, and whip him. Because that's how you did it down there. When I was a teenager, I moved to central Illinois. We had a crazy guy in the town. Rode a lawnmower around. Had so many DUIs, he couldn't get a driver's license. Somehow, he only showed up to church for two occasions. Potluck. And a guest preacher. And I've learned in my travels that whether it's a small town, small church, big church, we're all blessed with crazy. And I appreciate all the kind texts and the comments, even since I've been here. Bishop, the amount of support and the people that have said, "We love what God is doing at Calvary," and I say to God be the glory. Just let me make you feel better, okay? Not months ago, not weeks ago, Sunday, in our altar, a man who was God. And we had guests with us. Our ushering team did the best they could as we eased God out of the room. So turn to your neighbor and smile real big. Show them every tooth you own legally. Come on, even if you bought them, they're yours. Smile real big at them. Repeat after me. Be assured.
Be assured.
We all
have crazy people.
I don't care how good your suit looks, you got them in your church. Some of you got them in your family. If you're not laughing, it's you. We know you don't know. But we've also got some spiritual people. And we've also got some powerful people. And so I've come here tonight not to preach about the crazy people, but I've come to preach to you an assignment from the Holy Ghost under this topic: Rhoda's not crazy. Rhoda's not crazy. Now, it'd make me feel better if you'd lift your voice and pray with me before we start this preaching. God, I pray you'd help me here. I pray you'd open our ears and our hearts to receive from the word of the Lord. I believe I know my assignment. I want to preach with wisdom and with clarity, but most importantly, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Help me, oh God, to preach to this great congregation of prayer warriors and soul winners and apostolic mighty men and women of God that the enemy has lied to for long enough. We give you glory in this house. Amen. Before you're seated, somebody say, Rhoda's not crazy. You may be seated. If it could have, the Judean Times would have read, fresh off the print, the headline that day: James is dead and Simon Peter is next. Whether the church liked it or not, it was a reality. James, in fact, was dead. And that old Herod, who was really a, people pleaser. He liked that the Jews encouraged his killing of James, so much so that when he heard their bloodthirsty applause, he said, let's get another one. Peter would be a good one to kill next. And I wish it were not so, but he did, in fact, apprehend Simon Peter. And Simon Peter is, in fact, placed into prison. And any preacher in this room worth their salt or years of ministry knows that sometimes prison is part of the deal. It's not all easy. I don't care how good your suit looks or how nice your shoes are shined, it's not all easy. Pastor Gentry, I bet it's not all fun. Bet it's easy to pastor that big church. The devil is a lie. And as if it was not enough that he is in prison, they have placed 16 soldiers around him. You feel pretty important to get 16 soldiers. The honest part of me would be encouraged by 16 soldiers. 16 soldiers have surrounded him and placed him into the inner prison. And might I even submit tonight, on this beautiful Wednesday night, that because of the times, Peter is going to die. Just not yet. Peter is going to die. But this was not the time, because Herod was not going to dictate when he died. I felt to tell somebody at the very beginning of this message tonight, the Herod in your life does not have the right to determine when your time is done. Can I preach to some preacher in the room right now? The Herod of your church does not have the right to tell you when your time is over. The Herod of your city does not have the right to tell you when your time is over. I might even say this: the Herod of your doctor's report does not have the right to tell you when your time is over. Let God be true and every man. mayor is not more powerful in your city than you are. The local government does not have more authority than you do. You are the angel to the city, and it's not over until God says it's over. Brother Dean, he began that good work. He's going to finish it. Yeah, but Herod. Herod's a liar. Do you still believe in this house tonight that the devil is not only a liar, but he is the father? The father? I need to preach to a few people just from the beginning. The people that he's been telling, you will not have revival in 2023. I need to remind you, Herod's testimony does not matter. Well, I'm outnumbered. You're not outnumbered. Those that are for you are more than they. Oh, I feel my witness coming in the room. I need some pastor that would grab a hold of that. I need some evangelist whose calendar is still open that would say the devil is a liar. God is for me. Verses 5 and 6 says there was a prayer meeting. They're seeking God. And shockingly enough, it wasn't at church. Be an amazing thing what we could break loose if we'd get prayer out of church and into the house. And Peter is in the inner prison, two soldiers next to him, couple of chains upon him. There's keepers at the door. Read Acts 12. The Bible says he is sleeping. Come on, sleep apnea people. It's the night before his execution. And he's sleeping. Because your situation does not predicate your peace. Well, the bank still hasn't approved the loan. Did God tell you to build the building or not? Yeah, well, that family said they're not coming back to the church. The enemy, the Lord told me, there's people in this room tonight, his greatest attack against you is he has taken your rest. You have a smile, but no peace. You even have a message, but no joy. It's because you can't find rest. But I've come to remind you that he is the rest, wherewith he shall cause the weary. Come on, Simon Peter. I know you're in the inner prison of your life, but there's an angel on the way. Go ahead and sleep in the spirit a little. Just get you a little rest because there's a journey ahead of you. There are men and women under the sound of my voice. You're going to leave because of the times feeling more refreshed than you have been. You know, you didn't think anybody know, but you came dragging your knuckles in here. Didn't think you would make it one more month, but you're going to walk out of this place feeling rest and refreshing and strength. Some of you don't believe it, but those that do, I wish you'd say, I claim that in the name of the Lord. I claim rest. Somebody needs to lay hands on your own head and say, I claim rest over my mind. I curse fear. I curse worry. I curse trepidation. Come on, he'll baptize you with rest right now. He'll put prophecy back in your spirit. He'll put prophecy back in your tongue. And while he's sleeping, Here comes the angel. You know, we used to be able to talk about angels without half the room agreeing and half not. I'm just young enough and old enough. Is it okay if I present to you, it is not either or? They're the spiritual ones. They're the practical ones. They're the fivefold ministry people.
That doesn't happen, does it?
Hear him talk about angels? Wait till I chew on him in my text thread. It's not either or. It's both and. We need the Spirit and we need the Word. And you might not believe it, but I think there are angels among us in this house. And you don't have to accept it, but I feel the presence. I feel the presence. I feel the presence of the Lord, but I feel the presence of an angelic host that is in this building. And the angel of the Lord walked into that place. Peter was sleeping so sound that the angel had to hit him. Anybody in this room ever prayed to see an angel? Remember being younger, praying, God, I don't want to see anything. I just want to see. And if you're sweating and crying and you squint, you just kind of do it with the lights. It kind of. The angel walks in and slaps him and says, Pete, get up. And he jumps up. He's ready to run out of the room. So discombobulated, the angel says, put on your shoes. Get your clothes on. How are you sleeping so good? Verses 10 and 11 and 12 said he walks right past the soldiers. As if they didn't notice him. He walks right out of the prison. And when he gets to the city gate, the Bible says it. You do know we preach the message he preached. The city gate just opens up for him. And the Bible says, when it did, he came to himself. The same language used for the prodigal son. Before he came to the father, he came to himself. That's why when I pray for prodigals, I pray that they will come to themselves so that they can come to the father. The Bible says that Peter came to him. And the angel left him. And the first part of me thought, my God, why would you get him? Brother Sim, why would you get him out of the prison and leave him? And the Lord told me, at least the way I felt to see it in the scripture, I got him out of the prison. He needed to use the common sense to get to the prayer meeting. Where do we go? Our first place ought to be to the prayer meeting. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher. Where is the body together? Pray. I'll go to Mary's house. And so the Bible says, in fact, he does come to the house, to the prayer meeting. And when he gets to the prayer meeting, they are praying. There's that one guy in the room said hallelujah 337,000 times.
Hallelujah.
Anybody besides me, listen, if we don't have prayer, we don't have anything. But has anybody besides me ever got distracted when praying? Come on, you lie, you fry. Tell the truth right now. You ever been in a prayer meeting and the prayer meeting just kept going and you thought, oh, God. Put it on the pastor's heart to dismiss this prayer meeting, oh, God. And they've been praying long into the night. And Rhoda is just normal enough. I know some of you would not qualify. God bless you. Brother Bounce, come here, help me for a second. Just run up here for a second. They're in the middle of a prayer meeting. Everybody is thundering. And Rhoda's kind of sitting over on the steps. Just go up there, go up there. Doing one of these. Yeah, God. Hallelujah. Every now and then you can hear an elder pray loud by, God, help her to pray. Yes, God, yeah. We love. And everybody's praying, and Rhoda hears this on the door. Knock on that door. Now, time out. Everybody's so busy. She just kind of runs down. She was already looking for a reason to get out of the prayer meeting. I'm just going to tell you. Who is it? Who is? And from the other side of the door, she heard him say, it's Peter. Let's hear you say it. He actually went to acting school for years and it didn't. Here's the crazy thing. They're praying for Peter. She heard the knock at the door, runs to the door. Peter said, hey, it's me. And she went, whoa! And Bishop, Peter's at the door. And what'd they do? You're mad, girl. I'm mad at you. You want to pray all night? Call a 21-day fast. All the while, he's standing at the door. And she's caught between his knocking and their denial. The Bible says she just kept insisting. And so they said, it's his angel. They were so full of faith. Brother Shock, it was easier for them to believe God brought his angel up from the dead. No, they were trying to pacify her. But the Bible said she just consistently affirmed it was even so. The New King James said she just kept insisting. The CEB says she stuck by her story with determination. And the JBC says she looked at them and said, I'm not crazy. Peter is at the door. Here's my question in that story, Brother Palmer. Where was the person in the room that said, you know, I know Rhoda. She's pretty level-headed. Now, if she had a history, like if we had seven chapters previous, where every chapter, here comes Rhoda. Then we'd understand, my God, how's Rhoda keep making it in the book? But there should have been somebody. But they were all so religious. Nobody had the guts to say, I know Rhoda better than that. And so she just kept insisting until finally they walked to the door. And bring Simon Pitt, and they lose their mind. How did this happen? And Peter said, shh, calm down. What have you been praying for? Since when was prayer our routine rather than our expectation? Prayer is not a segment on our planning center. Prayer is not a 5-minute journey so we can say we prayed. When we pray, heaven opens up. When we pray, hell gets nervous. When we pray, the angel will walk into the prison. When we pray, the blinded eye. I wish somebody that believed in prayer would just start worshiping with me right now. Somebody that still believed in the power of prayer. Come on, I wish you would lift your voice. Bishop, you said it on Monday night, and then you preached it last night, and you qualified it. You said there's a little lady who comes here and prays. She don't write me letters. Not like this. You didn't know what I was preaching, but I did. And then you had to say, whether you like this or not, whether you believe this or not, and you might as well have said, she's not crazy. But that little old prayer warrior came and told you, when I saw this building, I saw a warring angel and a ministering angel, not at one seat, not at pastor's seat, at every seat in the building. Whatever you've had locked up in your life, it ought to get free tonight. Whatever's been in prison in your ministry, I got news for you. You're about to hear a knock. Brother Bounds, get back there again real quick. My title is Rhoda's Not Crazy. Let me preach the second part of it. Rhoda's not crazy, and I'm not either. And you're not either. It was at a prayer meeting like this when there came a knock at the door. Many of you have been, just keep knocking. Just keep knocking. I wish the knocking would get so loud we couldn't go through our formalities and play church for about 15 or 20 minutes and act like it's just another service and just another prayer meeting and just another sermon. I wish what's been locked up in your life would start knocking on the door of your mind and knocking on the door of your heart, knocking on the door of your spirit, and you would be... Come on, do you hear the knocking on the door of your church? Do you hear the knocking on the door of your ministry? I know Herod told you you're done. I know Herod told you your church wouldn't grow. I know Herod, but Herod doesn't know the angel has already delivered your miracle. Listen to me. This isn't in my notes, and I don't know who I'm preaching to, but Herod has told you the finances are not coming, and the Lord has told me twice tonight, he has already delivered the finances for the situation of your miracle. Company to feel like you can raise your hand. Got a fresh word for you. God did not call you there on accident. God did not put you there without knowing what he was doing. Every prayer you've been praying, every fast you've been on, Rhoda, don't you worry about what people are saying about you. Pause. Preachers, pause. Woman of God, you hear me right now. The devil's a liar. We got pastors' wives and evangelists' wives in here. Your mind has been completely wore out because the enemy's been lying to you. You're not crazy. And every time you walk in with a word, there's somebody ready, somebody more spiritual than you. Calm down, Rhoda. And at some point, you just got to say, why don't we just open and check? What if we just Yeah, but what if people say I'm fanatical? You're going to preach holiness and they keep telling you not to, but you just... He told you to reach your city and they keep telling you that's not really necessary. Like, and you've heard the whole week confirming what you know to do and they're telling you, why don't you? But you just keep hearing this knocking at... What if we just check? What if we just... And when she opens the door, that's when everybody rejoices. Can tell a voice. Can I tell you the most dangerous thing that could happen to us is we could start getting our validation from each other. We need to partner with one another, but the applause were after our nails card, not man-made. I want you in my court. But I got news for you. Whether you can hear it or not, there's a knock on the door of Indianapolis, and we are going to have revival. Whether anybody believes it or not, I need you to know, I had people tell me, I don't know that it can happen. To which I said, I don't care. I don't know if you want to go there. Really? Why is that? You better make sure you've heard from God. Isn't that a prerequisite for everything we do? Most dangerous thing you can do is let somebody else live vicariously through your ministry. You got to hear from God, and then you can't worry about the naysayers and the doubters and the negative Nellies in your life if you hear a knock at the door. I'm going to be honest with you. The revival will probably look different than your super religious people want to see. Your revival will probably smell like homeless people and look like drug addicts and probably be people from the wrong side of the tracks. But I got news for you. If you don't want them, I want them. I want them because He wants. I hear a knocking at the door, and you do too. You hear a knocking at the door of your city. You hear the knocking at the door of your youth group. You hear a knocking at the door of your... I'm done. I'm going to stop preaching. But the Bible says, the ending of the chapter, Brother Chavis, the word grew. Peter's in the house. They all go wild. He says, shh, calm down. People in the room. People all over the room taking credit for it. I touched God today, buddy. I don't know if you heard me. Send the angel. Peter walk into that room, shush the crowd. Because them praying Peter out of prison was never about them praying Peter out of prison. They knew if we don't pray Peter out of prison, how is the gospel going to go forward in this hour? And if you don't get out of the prison of your own mind, how is the gospel going to go forward in your city? I'm telling you, I come with a word of deliverance on the heels of my dear friend to tell you your greatest hour is now. Your greatest days
are ahead of you. Your best preaching is yet to be done. Your best singing is yet to be done. Come on, I wish you would shout like you used to. I wish you would rejoice like you ain't got no shackles on you anymore. Like you ain't got any chains on you anymore. Like you've been delivered from the lies of the devil. Like you've been set free from the bondage of Herod. Come on, he's a liar. He's not in charge of you. You've been prayed out of that prison. You've been delivered out of that prison. Rhoda's not crazy, and you're not either. Come on, lift your voice all over this. What our bishop preached about partnership. We have to rejoice together when we get delivered. You are not in competition with the pastor across town. I have made it a determination. When I am preaching evangelism to Calvary Tabernacle, I start preaching about revival in the churches across our town. And I call their names across our pulpit. And I speak open blessing and pray open blessing and revival on their church. We cannot reach them all by ourselves. We got to rejoice together. I want my neighbor out of prison. I want my... Come on, we're not against each other. We are for each other. It's not a preaching competition. It's not a church competition. It is a together mission. If you believe that, I want you to find somebody near you right now. And I want you to pray with them like their ministry freedom depends on it. Come on, pray them out of prison. Pray them into revival. Pray them into liberty. Pray zeal into their preaching. Pray anointing into their mind. Pray liberty into their spirit. Come on, there are warring angels that are activated in this place right now. Come on, there are warring angels ministering on behalf of the body. Come on, you're not crazy. You're not crazy. The Lord has...